Ron and Anian.
I've come to the conclusion that I want to find the pharmacy in America that's selling stupid pills.
Everybody's stupid, that's for sure.
The car doctor.
I can't reach through the phone and diagnose the problem. I have to see it.
Tony and I are just sitting here looking at each other. You can't reach through the phone to diagnose it. You are the car doctor.
Well, I can hear through the phone, but I can't reach through the phone. If I could reach through the microphone, I'd knock you two out and continue on with the show uninterrupted.
Welcome to the radio home of Ron and Anian, the car doctor. Since 1991, this is where car owners the world over turn to for their definitive opinion on automotive repair. If your mechanic's giving you a busy signal, pick up the phone and call in. The garage doors are open.
But I am here to take your calls at 855-560-9900.
And now,
stupid is stupid, does miss blue.
Here's Ronnie.
Hey, it's time to start your engines, and if they don't, stay put for the next 2 hours because you're here with me, Ron and Annie and the Car Doctor. 855-560-9900 is the phone number. Pull up a chair, pull up a bench, let's sit down and talk cars. That's what this radio show is all about. 855-560-9900. More information, cardoctorshow.com. We're out on the web, of course. There's podcasting there. There's also podcasting available from a variety of sources. TuneIn, iHeart, iTunes, all the good places. And don't forget, if you're subscribing to the podcast service or if you're taking the podcast down to your phone or your MP3 device or whatever device it is you're carrying around these days, it might be on your wristwatch for all I know at this point in the game. Please, if you can, if you have the option, if you see the button, click subscribe. It helps us out and helps maintain our pace and keeps us going along with our sponsors. And, you know, there is a business side to a radio show, and we try not to talk about it too much, but we all know it's there. It's kind of like that uncle that shows up at the holidays. It's sort of lurking in the background, so just be aware of that. How was your week? I had a really great week. I really did. I fixed every broken car that came into the shop. And it was a busy week. It was a tough week. I actually got out of the shop Friday night, 8:10 was 8:15. I walked out the door at night, and I would have been out. Actually, it's not as bad as it seems. I would have been out at 7:45, but this isn't the story I was going to lead with today, but I guess I might as well tell it because I'm here talking about it now. You know, it's funny, right? And some of you that are old enough like me will remember this. Anybody remember the Mean Joe Green commercial with the Coke, right, from the 70s? Yeah, okay. So, 7:45 last night, there's a knock at the front door of the shop. It's locked. I'm just kind of cleaning up and, you know, getting ready for Monday and just getting my thoughts together and packing up and got to take home paperwork to work on this weekend. And there's a knock at the door. And I kind of, you know, look around the side because I don't really want to stay. And who is it? It's a 12-year-old kid with a bicycle tire. And I'm like, huh? And I walk around to the open side of the garage door, and can I help you? And he says, hey, mister, can you put some air in my tire? And I'm like, looking around, I'm okay. Yeah, come on in, kid. You know, I just turned off the compressor and put away my tools, but, you know, what'll this take, 5 minutes? How hard could it be, right? You know, the last repair of the week. So I turned on the compressor and, I says, and I've never seen a bicycle tire like this. It was one of those, like a Kevlar rim with a special tire on it. It wasn't a thin tire, but it was a funny looking tire. I say funny. It was, you know, the tire weighed, you know, you could pick it up with your index finger. It weighed probably 7 ounces or something. It was one of those. And it makes you wonder where the kid can afford to get the bicycle tire at 12, but that's a whole nother conversation. And it had a funny valve stem on it, a real skinny little valve stem, like the tiniest little valve stem you'd ever want to see. And I'm thinking, I don't have a valve stem that'll fit this. And he goes, yeah, mister, all you got to do is you got to cut the cap. And I said, okay, do you have the cap? Oh, gee, mister, I forgot that. Let me run home and get it. I go, what do you mean run home? He goes, well, I live right across the street. He lives catty corner to the shop, you know, on the other side of the. Go ahead. Go get the cap. So he goes, gets the cap. I continue on puttering around the shop, cleaning up and doing what I have to do and trying to get out of there. And he shows back up. He's out of breath. Here you go, mister. You know, he's a poor little kid. He's up easy. You know, it's, I can see why this kid needs a bike. He's running all over the place. So, you know, I take the cap and I say, now he says, well, if you cut the top off, you can put your bigger gauge on that. And I'm thinking, I don't think this is going to work, kid. He goes, yeah. Just cut the top of the cap off. Okay. So customer's always right. So I cut the top of the cap off, and naturally I put it on, and it doesn't work. So I said, gee, I'm sorry. And he's like, oh, I've got a train tomorrow for the big race. And I'm thinking, like, is there a is this like, you know, candid camera, not to date myself here, but like, you know, what's really going on here? You know, either that or I'm thinking, you know, God's testing me, right? He sent me this. This is like I'm looking around for that touched by an angel. I'm looking around for, you know, some touched by an angel characters, like, you know, what's this really about? So he says, I said, listen, do we have to get air in the tire? I said, is it that I just have to set the bead and then you can put air in with a bicycle pump? Yeah. Can you do that? So I go back and I get out these blowguns, these air blowguns with rubber tips on them. I've got a small assortment, and I finally find one with just the right size diameter, all right? And I hand him, I take the valve core out because, oh, mister, you got to get a pair of pliers. Yeah, trust me, kid, I got mechanic's fingers. I can get that valve core out. We don't need no pliers. You know, out it comes, reverse thread. Take it out. I say, here, you hold this. He holds the valve core. I take the rubber tip blowgun, and I manage to squeeze the end of the rubber into the, I mean, this tip couldn't have been bigger than 3/16 of an inch. It was the smallest valve stem I've ever seen. It was crazy. And I take the rubber tip blowgun and, you know, I real quick put it in the tire and the tire pops up and all the armor all that he was using to clean the tire kind of went all over the place. I got to clean the top of the workbench again, but, you know, it was, you know, and real quick I pulled the blowgun out and put my finger on the top of the hole and now what do? Right? Because I got air in the tire and I'm standing there going, this really can't be happening. And that's when it dawned on me. You know, it's like, it's just the end of the week. Let's just make it work. So I said, all right, you ready, kid? Yeah. I said, okay, I'm going to put, when I nod, you know, I'm thinking Abbott and Costello. When I nod my head, you hit it. All right. I'm going to pull the finger away. And when I pull my finger away, you put the stem in the hole. All right. And you know what? Yeah, it was cute. It was nice. And, you know, he made the comment about, boy, I wish I had a dad. I'm like, oh boy, here we go. You know, it's like, we're going to start crying in a minute. Like, this just can't really be happening. So I end up pulling my finger away and he gets the valve core in and tightens it up and it's got air in the tire. That isn't where it hit me. He picks up the tire. He starts to walk out of the shop. He turns around and he goes, thanks, mister. I really appreciate it. You got it, kid. And you know what? A rising tide lifts all boats, and that was the end of my week. It just, it was that Mean Joe. It was that Mean Joe Green moment, you know, when you turn around. I was looking for a T-shirt to throw the kid, but they were out in the trailer, so I couldn't get to one. I thought it would make a great YouTube commercial. Maybe we should do that one day. But yeah, that was the end of my week. That was had nothing to do with cars. Just I guess it did. You know what? I thought about it on the ride home, and I said that's sort of what we need right now. We need that neighborhood repair shop. We need that neighborhood garage. And it takes a village to raise a child moment just to kind of make it happen like that. So just something that I went through this week. We'll do an opening monologue when I return. But real quick, before I go away, reading the latest copy of Auto Service Professional, let's get back into cars real quick. You know, they were talking about some goofy designs and problems that have occurred. And they listed like the top five bad designs or like the top five annoyances for manufacturers currently. If you weren't aware of this, you're going to love this one. The valve cover on the Volkswagen TDI engine. Can Volkswagen make anything right lately? The valve cover gasket on the Volkswagen TDI engine is bonded to the valve cover and not available separately. So the valve cover should only be replaced in the event of a leak. VW says that the cover may be reused if the seal is in good condition. But what if it's leaking? And then what do you do? Then you've got to buy a cover and a gasket put together. You've got to wonder what Volkswagen's doing. I can only think that what they're doing is that it's got to be a manufacturing process that they're trying to just make things, you know, better. So maybe not. Anyway, 855-560. Oh, by the way, real quick. I noticed that the guy across the glass from me today looks different.
You have the handsome one sitting here.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
Where is Anthony?
Well, he called in sick, and I don't know. Have you looked out the window?
Yeah, it's 70 degrees here in North Jersey, and it's kind of blue skies. Does Tony have spring fever?
You know, he says he's not feeling well, but I say nay, nay.
Beach, baby, there on the sand from July to the end. September.
I'm a girl watcher. I'm a girl watcher, watching girls go by.
Except in his case, that's all he'll be able to do is watch, because they're not going to look at him. Come on.
Yeah, it's our boy Anthony. Anthony, we hope you feel better, brother. We know you're streaming today. And we hope you feel better and get back here real soon. 855-560-9900. Ron and Annie and the Car Doctor coming back to open the garage doors right after this. Hey, welcome back. Ron and Annie and the Car Doctor rolling along at 855-560-9900. Here to take your calls and answer your questions. Keep in mind, this week, this is the week for the 3M giveaway. We're going to be giving away a 3M spray gun. Everybody's talking about it in the industry. It is the first of its kind. It's the new 3M AccuSpray 1 spray gun. Four different atomizing heads. It includes a hard cup, retaining ring, lids, liners, everything you need to really spray out of the house or spray as a professional, whatever your heart desires. And you know, keep in mind, it's a spray gun, so it'll work on your automobiles, it'll work on furniture, it'll work on the dog, the cat, whatever your heart desires.
Bicycles at 8 o'clock at night.
Bicycles at 8 o'clock at night. If you want to, I hadn't thought about that. That might be the thing the kid comes back with next, because I think I made a fan, and he lives across the street. Pretty soon it's going to be, wait till he finds out my name, and he's going to be like, hey, Mr. Ron, can you come over and can I spray paint my bicycle? That'll be the next thing. RE Automotive by day, Ron's bike shop at night. I can just, you know, we're going to get a revolving neon sign. Just, you know, as a matter of fact, it's funny. Again, we're still talking about the bicycle kid. My chiropractor that I see weekly, David, over at Valley Natural Health over in Paramus, New Jersey. Or is that Ridgewood? I forget. And they went by the shop yesterday at 7:45, him and his wife, the witch doctor, the homeopath. And they said to me this morning, they said, hey, you were there late last night. I went, yeah. They go, what were you? Did you have the guys in? Was it a Motorhead session, as they call it? I said, no. I said I was doing a bicycle repair, and they looked at me like I was nuts, right? But hey, that happens. You know, it's all part of the process. But anyway, we're giving away a 3M spray gun this week, and more information. I have to get the website. I think it's 3M.com. But Tom, get me the website, and he'll find out. Let me know. In the meantime, let's go talk to Chris as we kick open the garage doors this hour. Green Bay, Wisconsin, 01 Honda. And some questions about carbon issues. Chris, welcome to the Car Doctor, sir. How can I help?
Hi, Ron. This is a short-time listener. Found your website about 6 months ago, but I've been enjoying listening to the episodes and listening to the older ones.
Thank you.
Got a 2001 Honda 2.3-liter. It's a K24 series.
Right.
And cylinders 2 and 3 in a leak-down test have moderate leakage. And I'm wondering, I listened very closely with a test stethoscope, and I could tell pretty much that air was escaping into the crankcase. So I'm assuming that the rings are not doing their jobs well on cylinders 2 and 3. And I'm wondering if you've had any experience in revitalizing those rings using decarb methods. I found quite a bit discussed online, but it varies all over the place as far as what works, what doesn't.
You know, Chris, and it's a great question, and it's a common problem today, especially with the Hondas. Hondas and Toyotas all seem to run a low-tension ring, whether it be the oil ring or the second compression ring, and they all seem to have this issue as far as, it's not really carbon, but it's varnish deposits. And
okay,
carbon cleaning will help. You know, carbon cleaning will make it down to the first ring land, but it really won't get much past that. And, you know, doing a carbon cleaning is a great idea, but now we've got to talk about what are we going to free up the varnish that the rings, you know, the ring is stuck in the piston groove with. And,
right,
you know, that's really the issue. If it can be freed up, there's got to be a chemical out there that will do it. First place I would stop is Berryman, all right? BerrymanProducts.com and see what they've got listed, because
yep,
obviously we know how good their carbon cleaning stuff works, and I've got a strong suspicion that in there they've got a 3-step fuel system maintenance kit, and I've got a strong suspicion in there is going to be some form of a crankcase cleaner. But if there isn't, I'm wondering what else they might have, because that's really what you're looking for. You're looking for a crankcase cleaning product that can be possibly added directly to the oil. You're looking for something that'll mix with the engine oil and break up the varnish on the ring and hopefully allow it to free up and move. You know, how many miles are on this, Chris?
Unknown at this point. It's a non-automotive application that the engine is in. One thing I ran across is people were actually putting these solvents right down through the spark plug hole into the cylinder and letting it sit.
You can do that. You're describing like somebody's using either Tecron or Seafoam or something like that, I assume.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that will, you know, that will work to a degree, but the problem becomes if the top ring is sealing, it's never going to allow it to get into the second and then the third ring land. That's the first problem. And then the second problem really is, you know, some of these chemicals, in my opinion, quite a few of these chemicals work better with heat. So, you know, if you could get the engine, if you can find a chemical that you add to the engine oil and then while the engine's operating, it cleans itself from the inside out, you're going to find it to be more effective.
Okay.
All right. What kind of, just out of curiosity, what kind of non-automotive application is it in? Are we racing?
It's actually in an outboard application.
Okay.
So it's one of those situations where it doesn't get run at high RPMs a lot of the time. So I'm suspecting that's where a lot of the buildup comes from because it's not really getting up
right.
in temp and really run, you know, wide open like a regular car engine would.
Right. Now, if you want to go to Ron's default DEFCON 1 varnish deposits on the ring method.
Yeah.
All right. And I make no guarantees for this, but, you know, this is the, you know, if we were at the shop and you're telling me, hey, you know, I was telling you, hey, Chris, you know, cylinder 2's got low compression and we think it's a stuck ring in a land kind of an issue.
Okay.
And Chris goes, okay, I'm willing to take the gamble because this is caustic. All right. Quarter brake fluid. Put a quarter brake. Oh, boy, nothing is more caustic than a quart of brake fluid. Put a quart of brake fluid in the engine oil. Don't run it. You know, don't run it under load. Just allow it to idle. All right?
Okay.
And just let it idle. We've had cars 3 hours just running at the shop, just sitting at idle. We'll keep an ear to them. We want to make sure we're not thinning the oil out too much. Now, this is probably a 4 or 3.5 quart system.
It's actually close to 6.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Then I would probably run pretty much the whole quart. All right.
Okay.
I take a quart of oil out of it and I top it up with some brake fluid and at that point just let it idle and, you know, give it a couple of hours and then drain it hot and then fresh oil. And then if you want to repeat it or if you want to, you know, see what happens, you'll be amazed what, you know, if anything will remove varnish, brake fluid. All right. Just look at what it does to the fender of the car.
Well, I'm up for it, but I've got nothing to lose at this point.
But, you know, here's the catch-all. You just got to be careful because it's so caustic. It can get into the seals and create other engine oil leaks. So you've just got to be aware of that as well. So just be cautious and, you know, that'll do it for you. All right, Chris, good luck to you. Let me know how you make out, sir. The clock's going to grab me. I'm Ron and Annie, the car doctor. We're back right after this. Welcome back. Ron and Annie, the car doctor, 855-560-9900, cardoctorshow.com. Make sure you click subscribe if you are taking us by podcast, any other method. I should point out we are live on the network Saturday afternoons, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern time. And don't tell anybody I said that. Radio networks don't like for us to like reach through the microphone. It's like reaching across the veil and admitting that we're not live in certain markets. But, hey, I can't be everywhere. I try to be, but I can't.
It's debatable whether we're live right now.
Yeah, we might not be live. So we are alive, but let's not go there. Anyway, just click subscribe to the podcast. It does help us. Not on our website because we haven't gotten to that part yet. We're too busy fixing cars. And if you're taking it on a portable MP3 player, that's what helps us. Hey, let's get over and talk to John, Portland, Oregon, and some questions about what to buy. I love these kind of questions, John. How are you? Welcome to the Car Doctor, sir.
Great, thank you. Question is, looking for a vehicle, SUV, small, V6, but looking for between a Toyota Highlander, Nissan Pathfinder, and a Honda Pilot.
Okay.
Used, preferably.
All right.
What do you recommend?
How old are we going? 3 years, 4 years?
A couple years, maybe.
Yeah.
2 years. 2 or 3 years.
All right. Out of those three, which is your preference?
Actually, the Highlander.
Do they all meet the family requirement? You know, the number of people you got to carry, cargo, where you're going to be, you know, space and all that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I like to have the third seat.
Right.
The third seat, definitely.
And yeah. And who's going to work on it? Do you have an independent garage, a guy that you trust? Are you going to work on it, or are you planning on taking it to the dealer?
I do myself.
Okay. So I think out of those three in that category, I was going to tell you to rank them as Highlander first, Pilot second, and the Pathfinder third. And I'll tell you why. All right. It's not the most scientific answer in the world, but I'll tell you why. All right.
Yeah.
When it comes to repairing a car, I don't care what you drive, sooner or later it's going to break. And you've got to have access to information. You're going to need, you know, you've got to be able to get stuff. You've got to be able to look up and, you know, have access to codes and definitions and bulletins. And, you know, out of those three manufacturers, hands down, Toyota is the most user-friendly, so to speak. Honda's getting better.
That's great.
All right? But Toyota does make it a whole lot easier. All right? You there, John?
Great. Yeah, I'm here.
So I would look at that. In terms of mechanical reliability, I'll tell you what goes wrong with the Toyota. All right? The Toyota's going to drive for 150,000 miles. You're going to do a couple of oil changes. You're going to do some coolant. You're going to do spark plugs around 80 or 90,000 miles. Maybe it's a little early, but that's okay. You know, you're going to do all your fluids and filters. Around 150,000 miles, you're going to have your first cataclysmic failure, and it's going to be when the exhaust system starts to rot at the exhaust flanges. And it's going to get what I call the Toyota crunchies. The stainless steel exhaust will hold up forever, but the flanges that hold it together will start to rust and disintegrate. All right? Somewhere around that time frame, maybe a little bit sooner if it's a typical Toyota, depending upon what it is you buy, maybe you'll get an evaporative emission code. You know, that type of thing. But that car will probably be good for the first 100,000 miles with very few problems. You know, I can't say that about the Hondas right now. I still see Honda suffering from a variety of maladies, among which is attitude. See, right? You've already talked to Honda, right? And they have this attitude like their cars don't break. Yeah, it boggles my mind.
It looks too much like an Odyssey.
Yeah. It boggles my mind. You know, there's nothing warming about those guys. Their attitude from corporate on down is just, it's kind of tough to take. I don't get it. You know, Nissan.
Okay.
Nissan's a third ranked company, struggling, thinking they're number one when they're really number four. Okay. You know, and I just see now. I got to tell you, the Nissan won't break either for the first 100,000 miles. Well, it might. I have to retract that. I have to think about that. The Nissan's going to be either it'll go 100,000 miles with no problems, or the Trans is going to fail.
Okay.
On it. You know, it's one of those. It's a give or take. I have a very good friend, a very dear friend, who's a shop foreman at a Nissan dealer, and we talk all the time. And some weeks it's, what are you doing? And it's some weeks it's, I'm standing around with nothing to do, and that to me tells me it's a good product. And then the next week, he's got seven transmissions out on his bench waiting for parts because every car they sold swallowed a trans, or every car they sold blew a head gasket, or every car they sold. You know, it's always big stuff. It's never little, you know, it's never little dinky, you know, a bulb's out type
of
thing.
Yeah, high dollar stuff.
Right. It's always high dollar stuff. To their credit, I think Nissan, all three of them do a great job of parts and availability. I give them that. They do make that a pretty good issue, you know, and they've done it. They've done an excellent job in maintaining a parts inventory on vehicles. Heck, I've gotten full brake line assemblies for 18-year-old Honda Accords, still available. I can't say that about a lot of domestics. I give them that, but you know, it's to me.
Yeah,
you've got to be. You've got to be able to get the information. You've got to be able to access it. And you've got to be able to, you know, have some kind of a relationship with that dealership. You know, you kind of need a little bit of a friendlier attitude, and I think they got to work on that. You're in the right direction, kiddo. Now, I think you're probably going to pay the most for the Toyota, but you get what you pay for. This is America. That's the way that, that's the way the deal works.
Okay.
So there's a reason for
great.
That. All right.
Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome, John, and you take good care. Hey, tell you what, stay on the line.
Yes.
Can Tom, would you get John's information? We're going to be sending out that 3M spray gun kit to you, John. And that's from the folks over at 3M. And, you know, if you're working on your own car, you never know. Maybe you got to do a little body work to this thing. The 3M AccuSpray, one spray gun, four atomizing heads. It's the only gun that, it's the only thing that passes through the gun itself is air. It is a cleaning system that's very simple. The spray gun features HVLP technology and can perform everything from precision touch-up to production functions and painting an entire car. So the 3M PPS system will replace traditional paint guns and make you you'll be the local bodywork guy as well as mechanical. All right, so stay on the line and Tom will get your information and we can kind of go from there, but we appreciate your support and we appreciate you listening to The Car Doctor. 855-560-9900. Ron and Andy, The Car Doctor, coming back right after this. Welcome back. Ron and Andy, The Car Doctor, 855-560-9900. A couple of pieces of radio maintenance, as it were. This one's from Joe Bax. Joe sends me an email. Ron, here's the lowdown of bicycle tire valve, picture attached. And I'm looking at four pictures. That was a Presta tire valve I was talking about. And he shows me, he's right, Presta valve closed, Presta valve open, Presta valve with adapter, and a Schrader valve. And it's just like I described it as far as how skinny they are. And we didn't have the adapter, Joe. That was the problem. We were trying to make the adapter out of the kid's plastic cap that he had for his valve, for the valve stem itself, and I felt bad. He said, no, mister, it's okay. I can. So, but anyway, we got air in the tires.
See, even the car doctor learns things.
Yeah, I mean, the car doctor learns things. It's question I want to know is why? You know, to me, this is like, I look at, you know, a valve stem's been like that, oh, I don't know, 120 years, and now all of a sudden we have to reinvent it. Why do we have to make a skinny valve stem? This is like, you know, we need Torx Plus, screws, Phillips head, straight blade. You know,
well, maybe just a thought here, a wild thought. Maybe it's easy if you have to carry a bicycle pump in a race or something. Maybe it's easier to carry the pump. Maybe the pump's a little smaller.
Maybe, but you would think it's got to be for weight savings. It really does. But it's boy, you're really getting fussy here. This is a really minuscule difference. I could tell you what it is, but I don't want to say it. It's radio, but family radio. Anyway, let's. And the other thought I've got is I went and I looked for the 3M PPS paint gun that we just gave away to John out in Oregon. It's 3mcollision.com. If you browse down the left side of the page, you'll see there they talk about the PPS, the paint preparation system, and all that's involved there. And we wish John a lot of luck with that. But get out to 3mcollision.com. That's where the information is on the 3M PPS system and the gun. Let's get over and talk to Jonathan in Missouri, 08 Ford Escape, and some problems with the brakes. Jonathan, welcome to The Car Doctor. How can I help?
Hey, we got it. My daughter-in-law has a 2008 Ford Escape, and the front brake keeps locking up on it when she drives it around town and all, and if you leave it set for a while, it seems like when it cools down, it releases the caliper. You know, we put a new caliper on, new pads and everything, and 2 weeks later, it did the same thing again. So I wondered if you had any ideas there.
I'm just curious, does it happen at speed, Jonathan? Is it, you know, she's driving down the road at 50 miles an hour, and it happens?
It has once out on the road. It usually seems like when she's in town and uses the brakes a little more, it'll happen more then, you know, rather than out on the road. But usually it's in town when she uses them more.
When you say the brakes are locking up, you know, when they're in the locked position, do you have the ability to maybe get it up in the air real quick or get a tire off and open the bleeders to see if the caliper releases?
We did the one time we had a chance to, and it was locked. And like I said, we let it set for 15, 20 minutes and then tried it again, and it was fine then.
Okay. So
I didn't know if it was like a... Nope.
Well, it could be a hose issue. A hose failure would not be uncommon. So, you know, that's kind of what I'm looking to see if we... which wheel's locked up, right or left?
The front right one.
Okay. And you've replaced the caliper on the front right.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Yeah.
The next time it happens, if you can, crack both front bleeders. If you get if you get no fluid out of the right front, you know, a strong, but you get a burp out of the left front, I'm thinking the left front hose might be collapsed.
Okay.
How many miles are on this car?
Restricted oil.
Yeah. How many miles are on this car?
Right at 100,000, I think.
Okay. Was it ever in an accident? Any kind of collision or anything?
Yeah, it was hit in the back once.
Okay. No, I'm thinking about the front. Has anybody in the last 2 years done any front brake work, like just normal brakes? What's the brake history on the car?
No.
Okay.
No, because they were pretty well worn when we replaced them a couple weeks ago.
You know, I'm just thinking in the back of my mind, I'm always looking for, did somebody mishandle the brake caliper the last time they had it apart, suspension work, brake work? And, you know, I see a lot of guys not have a metal bracket to hold the caliper. You know, they'll let the caliper hang by the rubber hose, and that just beats the heck out of the hose. And then, you know, a year later or 2 years later, the hose is starting to fail. And what happens is the hose is peeling from the inside. So every once in a while it catches that. It's sort of like when the sole of your sneaker comes unglued from the tip. You know, and you're walking along, how it kind of flaps. You could pick up a quarter. It's flapping, and it acts like a check valve, and the hose gets lodged in one direction, and it won't let it release. So, you know, that's why I say crack the bleeders. If cracking the bleeders gives you equal pressure and equal burp out of both, then I'm going to say there's something physically wrong with either the caliper or the hydraulic control unit. The ABS control unit could have an issue, but that's kind of rare and a little tougher to pin down. So,
well, I'll be honest, she took it to Ford, and Ford wanted to put a whole new brake booster and all this. It was like $600 and some. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah,
we'll look into it a little more.
You know, we've seen boosters fail, but not just the right front. Okay? So think of it like
the only one we've ever seen.
Right.
Yep. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Think of it like this, okay? She steps on the brake, all four wheels get brake fluid. All right? So, you know, why would it be a booster? If you told me both front brakes locked up, yeah, I've seen the booster create an issue like that and drag its heels. That I've seen, and there's a valid mechanical explanation for that. But a right front only? No, we're looking for something particular in the way of hoses, a caliper failure, a repetitive caliper failure, a caliper issue, contamination of the fluid, something along those lines. Now, some repair shops, and maybe you don't have to wait for the failure to occur, some repair shops, like I've got a set of pressure gauges where I can screw the caliper bleeders out and screw a set of gauges in, and with the car on a lift, drive it and hit the brake and look and see, do I have equal pressure to both wheels? Because sometimes you won't feel it. Sometimes it's there, but you won't see it unless you start to measure it. So just a couple of options for you, Jonathan. Give that a shot. See what that does for you. If you need more help, I'm here for you, buddy, and good luck. All right?
All right,
sir. Good luck. Thank you. 855-560-9900. The Car Doctor's coming back right after this. Hey, welcome back. Ron and Andy, the Car Doctor, cruising along, kind of wrapping it up this hour. There's another hour of Car Doctor, and though coming up right after this, right after the news at the top of the hour on most of these affiliates. Let's do a quick piece of email. This one comes to us from Chris, a regular Car Doctor listener. Ron, what's up with car manufacturers these days? I just bought a new 2017 F-150 5.0 motor. Talking with people in the service department before I bought it, asked about trans fluid changes, was told they did fluid and filter, asked about a dipstick. They said we don't have a true dipstick in transes in years, but it has a short dipstick on the tranny. How do they check it? We only check it when we see fluid on the trans. Oh, it's over on the right side. The manufacturers are cheap nowadays, or do they think we are stupid and don't check our fluids anymore? I opted for the 5.0 because I was not comfortable with the new EcoGen 2 motor with the start-stop technology. Any thoughts? Yeah, you know what, Chris? I'm not a fan of start-stop technology. I'll start the conversation there. I'm not a fan of start-stop technology myself. I think we're splitting hairs. It's more stuff to break, okay, is the bottom line. You know what? We had a 2008 Ford Explorer in the shop this week. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to make that the opening story in the next hour. We're going to talk about the repair of the week, because this 2008 Explorer, with all its technology, was absolutely staggering how just one little component brought this vehicle to a halt that in a lot of vehicles would have kept it running. It was just absolutely amazing. So, Chris, stick around to the next news after the news at the top of the hour, and we'll talk about this. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. The mechanics aren't expensive. They're priceless.